I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks Special Edition. I'm excited, Reg. We're going to call this R&B Talks First Intercontinental Taste Testing.
Oh, that's what we're going to call
That's what we're going to call it.
Okay.
We're going to travel, not the whole world, because I don't know where to get like stuff from like the Netherlands or Denmark or like Iceland. I have a hard time feeling like there's a lot of joy there.
Okay, so let's just explain. So we've had some pretty heavy episodes as of lately.
We have, yes.
The last one was a different one too, the live episode, which went really well. We did it live through all this stuff, which was a feat in and of itself. But so we wanted to do something lighter today.
Yeah.
So in an effort to bring something of a lighter fare, we've decided to get some ethnic.
We've decided to attempt to attain diabetes.
We have a bunch of. There's an Indian grocery store up in Clarksville, Indiana. They make their own
treats.
Yeah. So they have a whole thing full of it. So there's some of that. My wife makes authentic baklava. She learned that from her mother, who learned that from her mother. It's like a whole thing. So we have some of that my wife made. There's some pocky that is a Japan thing.
Yeah. And then we have Bimbo and Marinella snacks. These are south of the border treats. I've always been curious when I saw them because they looked different. So I thought, why not?
Right. Yeah. So we're going to be doing that today. And really, it's just a, hey, what's going on?
We're just going to have conversations today and have talks about things that are happening.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like everything is still another like stupid chaos mode of things. And, yes. And to be honest, like it just seems like such a circus. Like, it's like, what I'm really expecting the clown car to just explode.
I'm sort of thinking like the next thing we see is like, you know, exploding hot air balloons attacking the coast and, you know, with twirly mustaches and their gentlemen's pistols and like something weird's going to happen, dude.
I don't know, dude.
I don't understand. Like, I get this whole, like, I get it. Like, Iran's mad. Israel's mad. Why do we care? I'm not really sure. Let them kick each other's butt for a while. Somebody will figure out something. You know, Ukraine has now invaded Russia. They flipped the script, man. Ukraine is now invading Russia. So, and now they're like 30 or 40 miles inside the Russian border trying to take over a nuclear power plant. And, you know, and then, of course, we have the willfully ignorant out here saying dumb stuff about this presidential race, which I don't understand,
I had something on my mind today.
To go along with our colorful fiesta of sugary treats, I also have a problem. And I would like your advice, Reggie, on how to handle this.
Fire away.
Okay, so let's take kind of a snapshot picture of what's going on right now.
Okay, I'm ready. Right,
so we're gonna kind of run down the thing. We got, you know, boys being girls and girls being boys. We have, you know, people who think it's okay to castrate your kids and give them, you know, permanently scarring transformational surgeries. We have people who believe that it was okay for Palestine to murder people in Israel. We have, honestly, two ridiculous people running for president, one much better than the other, but both still ridiculous. And a third party guy who's really only there to steal votes. Kennedy's not going to, he doesn't have a shot. Like, not even a low percentage shot of getting into the presidency.
Well, not now. I mean, especially after the whole
assassination. He's going to steal. We have Tim Walz, who's publicly stolen valor from the military, which just makes him a despicable human being in my book. I remember when I was a kid, if I would have heard all this, this would have been an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. This would have been in such a high level and realm of ridiculous that it wouldn't even have been given attention. And I probably would have gotten in trouble for talking about it because it was that level of stupid, right? It's that level of stupid. And I use the word stupid. I don't use that word lightly. I don't normally call something just straight up stupid unless I feel it's necessary. And I absolutely at this point feel it's necessary to call this stupid. But I am running into more and more people who are willfully ignorant of the facts. So let's put a fact on the table, right? Okay. Regardless of your opinion of Donald Trump, it was all better when he was in office. I don't like the guy. I think he's an egotistical, just yahoo. And I think he's, a lot of ridiculous comes out of him. But the facts are that inflation wasn't sky high. It didn't cost $7 for a loaf of bread. Gas prices were the lowest they had been in who knows how long. The world was at peace. He flirted with a couple of wars, but everybody thought he was a little off the tilt. So they were kind of scared to try to get into it with this guy. So we were safe.
Well, okay. Let me just say that about the one aspect of that when you say the world was at peace. He was the first real president who made headway with China and North Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a whole, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yet he didn't get any acknowledgement for any of that stuff, but he did. He actually met with those. And that's something that the previous administrations hadn't done. So
in the last 4 years, gas prices have skyrocketed. Inflation has skyrocketed. We are on the verge of world war. We are more divided as a country now than we ever have been. And we have the current vice president running around making statements like, on day one, all right, so haven't you already been there for 3 2/3 of a year? What were you doing then? Were you like flying kites? Were you doing like feng shui? What were you doing? Because you obviously weren't doing anything about it then. Why do I believe that you're going to do anything about it now?
No,
the question I have is, there's a level of acceptable insanity, and we are so far above that acceptable level of insanity. And I don't, and it's spreading like a virus.
But I don't think it's spreading at all. I really don't. I just think you have these people who have been willfully ignorant for a long time. They're just speaking out for once, because honestly, this is an election that is one-sided in a vast way, that everything they're trying to do is to, I mean, Kamala's saying the same thing that Trump is. She's copying everything that he said.
Tips, toe tax on tips.
I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of things, but I think it's just people are just, okay. Me and you will say this. I do not understand why somebody would say, I'd rather vote for Kamala over Trump because I don't like Trump. But at the end of the day, liking him really doesn't matter. Liking the president doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
What matters is like, well, what has Kamala done? Has she demonstrated that she has the leadership acumen to lead the country into a better place?
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
More than one occasion, she stated that 220 million Americans died in the last couple of months. That's 2/3 of the American population.
Yes.
What? And now, this is who you want to trust with CIA and foreign affairs and Secret Service and business in general? You're not even that good at math.
Well, she was unburdened by math.
Well, she was unburdened by what is, and she's gonna go have a conversation with what would be. I have no idea what that means either, right? But don't get me wrong. Like, okay, so there was something that Trump did in his first campaign, and it worked my nerves, and here's why. He made up words. Like, he used the word bigly. That's not a word. Hugely. That's not a word.
It is commonly said, especially up in the Northeast.
Yeah, so but I mean, bigly?
I don't know, man.
We beat him bigly. Bigly's not a word, dude. You make yourself look stupid when you make up words.
Look, making
read
up
it
words,
off the speech. You pay the guy to write it.
Making up words like bigly and hugely, I don't really care. I mean, I really don't.
But the facts are, and this is about facts, man. This is not about your butthurt feelings. I don't care. When he was president,
it was better.
It was better. My economy was better. Yep. The economy was better. My electric bill was lower. My water bill was lower. My taxes were lower. I was able to afford groceries without having a stroke every time I went into the grocery store. Like, there were things that happened during his presidency that benefited me. Nothing that has happened during the current administration has benefited me or all of America in any way other than your butthurt feelings.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I mean. You're saying anybody is better than Donald Trump. But at the same token, the one that you're going to be voting for has demonstrated that the last 4 years, actually what you're saying is you want the last 4 years repeated again. You want those same chaos, the same turmoil, the same economic thing to be still happening. That's what you're voting for. That is absolutely an ignorant, stupid thing to do. And I'm tired of even some of the people who are close to me saying that all this nonsense about the Antichrist being Trump and all this stuff about I'd rather vote for a food item than Trump and I'd rather do that. I mean, it's just dumb.
Well, I think this personally, and you may tell me I'm wrong, but I think when you call Trump the Antichrist, you're speaking heretically.
You are, like, because it's completely false.
It's completely false, right?
Like, but it doesn't really matter. And this is what I'm saying. Even some of these Christian people, I'm like, you should understand that politics aren't really that's not the solution to really much of anything. We should be interested in politics and look for our leaders to carry a certain characteristics that we ascribe to. But it's at the end of the day, Jesus is still sovereign. God still reigns. So, I mean, you know, that's where the faith is. But, you know, I want to be involved in our leadership because they allow us to be so, which is a great freedom to have.
Yeah.
But I'm just flabbergasted by the amount of people who know better and who should know better, who just flat out have said, come on. And there is no smart reason to vote for Kamala. There is no reason.
Yeah.
If you say orange man bad, that doesn't know.
There's lots of dumb reasons to vote for Kamala. Just like there was lots of dumb reasons to vote for Biden.
And again, there are reasons. Like, so there are reasons are that you're a socialist. Okay, vote for Kamala, but socialism is actually terrible and you should not want for socialism. But you're not going to convince these freaking purple haired, rainbow shirt wearing, pierced people that their communist ideas are legitimately going to be good for people. That's incorrect. Well,
I mean, like, it's like another fact, you know.
By the way, if you have purple hair, it's cool. I mean,
we want to try socialism. You do know that historically it has failed 100% of the time. Socialism has never, ever worked. And let's take the Netherlands out of this. Because everybody goes, well, the Netherlands, actually, they're not. They're a meritocracy.
Well, no.
So socialism has been a 100% complete and utter tent pole failure,
but
from jump.
Okay, but you said the Netherlands isn't necessarily a success either.
No, but a lot of people like to use a lot of,
I know they do,
their construct is socialism, which it's not. It's a meritocracy.
But even then, though, what their ideals that they come out with, like where they pay a much higher tax rate, the government funds all these other things.
Yes,
it's a vastly smaller economy
is what I think it's a third the size of California's economy,
something like that. But you know, the population is completely and totally completely lower. The culture is completely different than it is. So there's just like too many variables to go, oh, well, that's why. But at the same token, they also have a very high level of their population on antidepressants.
Yes. And on top of that, you know, for you socialists out there, Norway, the Netherlands, Iceland have very, very strict immigration policies. the things that you have to go through to become a citizen of those countries is so far above anything else out there. I have a friend who he bought a home in Norway, and he cannot, even though he can own this home, he can own the property, but it would take a decade for him to get citizenship. So for him to go visit his property, he has to get a 3-month, I think, visitor's visa. And at 3 months, you got to go. There ain't no extending the visa. You can do that once a year. So he has to do all this stuff to get this visitor's visa so that he can go to the property that he owns. Because let's be clear, they don't want the mess that every other country has with immigration. They don't want it. They know what it will drive the country to, so they keep it out.
Yeah, but
you know, there's all these things that, you know, I don't know, man. It's just this week has been very frustrating because I've talked to some people and I've heard some just ridiculous statements, and I've heard them several times, and I'm like, how can you possibly be a critical thinking human being and say some of the absolute drivel and bile that comes out of your mouth? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then their defense is, well, Trump's a billionaire. And let me be clear. If you had $10 billion, you wouldn't be saying a word. So let's not be hypocrites in this conversation.
Well, right? I mean, look, I'm a proponent of, like, if you go up to an argument, make sure you have something to, you know, of substance. I mean, that's what I'm missing. I've asked the question many times, like, why, what legitimate thing are you basing your decision to vote for Kamala? What has she done that is so good for you to, like, to vote for? What has that been? What is that? And what is it?
Just so you guys know, we're going to start with the Gansito.
The Gansito.
From Marinella. It is a...
I would rather do that than what we're talking about.
Filled snack cake.
So let's open up Gansito.
Let's open up Gansito. Let's have some sweets while we're talking about the sours, shall we?
No, I don't want to talk about the sours.
But anyway, so something else that'd be cool to discuss would be the Trump and Musk interview.
Nah, indeed. And I'll confess right now, I did not go back and watch it. I meant to.
But I watched it, or actually I listened to it. I didn't watch it. Really watching it was watching one man talking to a phone and a picture of the other guy talking.
Well, okay. But let's say this though, about that real quick. Well, the one thing I do know, if you, the X just made media irrelevant.
Yes, they have.
I mean, if you can get on and get 9.4 million responses. Holy cow, man. I mean, that's incredible. Well, that's it. That was early on. So let me see.
I want to say it's got bits of chocolate on it. It's wrapped in chocolate. Do you taste coconut?
Yeah.
I taste coconut. Not bad, right? I wouldn't buy it again, but it's not bad.
But it's like chalky.
Yeah, the cake part's a little dry.
I don't care for it. And I mean, I kind of like that it's not that sweet.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely a little dry. Like, it's a little...
There's this, like, bitter aftertaste, though.
Yeah. I think that's the dark chocolate on top. Because that's dark chocolate chips.
I know, but there's, like, it's really bitter.
It tastes like... You remember generic Twinkies when we were a kid? Tastes like a generic Twinkie covered in chocolate. And I can't even taste the little red cream inside. I'm not really sure what's happening. Yeah, I'm not good.
That's a negative.
You don't have to eat it. We can toss it.
We're going to toss it.
I took two bites of mine. That's right. I'm a two bite guy. First bite's shock. Second bite's a decision. You know? Okay, we're out with that. Anyway, well, what I loved about the interview was Musk was very honest about all of the reasons that he's kind of been on the path he's been on. I don't know if anybody got to see the Jordan Peterson, Elon Musk interview, but there was a moment in that interview that I really garnered a very large percentage of respect for Elon Musk.
Well, we said it in the last,
well,
we did mention it.
His son Elon was lied to by doctors. Hand me that? Which one?
The whole, just hand me the whole tray.
Oh, the whole tray. Oh, look.
Let's just do the whole tray here.
Oh, sorry. Had to give a little preview. Anyway, he was tricked by doctors into allowing his son to take puberty blockers, and his son is dead. And what I mean by that is he's now living as a woman. He's lost his son. And he has committed to destroying the woke hive mind, which I think that the first step in that was this interview with Trump, because he asked some very solid questions. Now, granted, Trump did his thing. You know, Kamala's bad. Old man Joe's bad. It's all bad. I'm great. Bigly. All that stuff. But what you saw in that interview was, what do we got here?
Banana Pocky.
Banana Pocky. Pocky is German?
Japanese.
Japanese. So we have gone to the land of the rising sun.
My girls love Pocky, dude.
Do they really?
Yes. This is banana cream covered cocoa biscuit sticks.
You know, I think your girls are great, man. I love the fact that they're... Raina, dude, might be one of my favorite humans on the planet.
She just says whatever. Doesn't matter.
Ooh. Now, what I like about that is I love that manufactured banana flavor for some reason. I love that flavor.
It's like those banana fingers or whatever, you know? Yeah.
But the crunchiness of, I guess this is...
The biscuit, what they call it?
Is it like a...
Biscuit sticks?
Biscuit stick. It's like somebody melted a piece of banana Laffy Taffy onto a biscuit stick. Out of the two we've tried so far, I probably like that one better.
What do you got? You got Neato Duo.
Yeah.
Filled Baked Good. Pan Dolce Relleno.
I'm not sure. Let's give it a shot. But he talks a lot about, you know, the reasons that he bought X and all those things.
Oh, those are huge.
I think this interview was very, holy Lord.
Why don't you just open it and break it in half?
Yeah, let's do that, because this is a large snack cake.
I mean,
this is a monster snack cake. Just want you guys to know, I know how much Reggie likes me, because he gave me half his apple pie egg roll last night.
I did. You got the apple. Yeah, half of that, dude.
I was very excited. And at the same time. All right, so here we go. Pan Dolce.
Yeah, this is the Bimbo Neato Duo Filled Sweet Baked Good.
Nope. Tastes like a stale piece of hot dog bun with some chocolate on it.
Oh, that does, doesn't
it? It's a stale hot dog bun with chocolate on it.
Oh, dude, what the? You didn't throw that away.
I gotta say, South of the Border snacks is not batting 1,000 right now.
Well, these are okay. Granted, these are the store bought things. There's some Mexican desserts though. If you go to like a grocer.
Oh yeah, but I'm just talking about like if you're looking for a taste of South of the Border, don't do it at the.
You did. You station. Would. Well, we needed some entertainment, I suppose.
But anyway, so the interview was great, and there was a lot of conversation surrounding the reasons why he chose to back Trump. And one of them was the woke hive mind. And I think, you know, even if you didn't hear the interview, I don't think you've seen the beginning of this looks like putty.
Well, this is, I don't know. This is from the Indian grocery store. I have no idea what it is.
We don't even have what it is called. I'm going to call this rolled jello. Because it kind of, if you look at it, it kind of is this roll of green jelly. I hope it's not mint. I really don't like
it. Oh, there's stuff in it.
Whoa. Sorry, folks. That was gross. That was very gross.
I didn't grab any. That's okay. What is that?
That's like lettuce. It's like they made lettuce candy.
Okay. Masala doesn't belong in everything. Let me just say that. I don't know what that is. There's like some seeds and stuff in there.
That is lettuce candy. Like it tastes, when I bit into it, it crunched like soggy lettuce.
That is not good.
That is not okay.
That is not good.
They are actually fired. I didn't.
That one's
you not, fired.
That one is just no.
Yeah, no. Let's try a different treat.
Okay, here's the now this I know is I've had these before. These are those like sweet donuts, the sweet honey donuts or whatever.
Okay. Sweet. You heard it here, folks. Sweet honey donuts.
I can't remember the name of it though. But these are really good. What do you think?
Although it did have a soggy bread texture, the flavor was really good.
It's a very honey, you know.
Very flavolicious.
And they're better warm.
I would hope so.
Okay, look, here's a white one.
Here's a giant ball of white something.
It's. I wish I remembered the name of these things.
All right, so next time, tell them to keep the lettuce wrap. Nobody likes a lettuce wrap for dessert.
Okay, look, this is.
This looks like some kind of cake.
Yeah, some kind of coconut.
I think there's some coconut involved. I can see some coconut flakes.
I don't know.
Looks like there's nuts in it.
I'm not saying no.
Me either. It's very, I'm trying to find the right word. Very, look.
I mean, it's not bad though.
It tastes like a badly made Mounds.
No.
Without the chocolate.
No.
Tastes like if the Almond Joy went wrong.
I don't know what the seed is or whatever. There's nuts in there. No, there's other. I'm saying the other thing.
Oh no, I can't do that.
I mean,
well, so far
that's okay.
By proxy, the Pocky's winning.
Okay, now we have a pink something or other.
Pink.
No idea. And I think some of the honey from the donut got on some of this.
Well, my question is, why is all of the Indian desserts so squingy? They're like squishy.
I don't know. Well, see, I don't remember. There was a lot of that coconut. I mean, what is that supposed to be? I don't know.
I'm not sure. But if good was it, they lost.
It's not bad.
It's not terrible.
I just don't know what that's supposed to be.
Why are all their desserts so wet, Reggie? Why? Like, if you look at that, look, if I squeeze that, like juice comes out of the middle of that. I don't understand. Why you gotta make your dessert so juicy?
I like that it's not though too sweet.
Yeah, it's not too sweet, but it's freaking juicy.
I just look at my fingers are.
You look okay. Like we've been dipping our hands in grease.
Let's try this. This one's not juicy.
Maybe this is Indian fudge.
I don't know, dude.
Okay, so let's see. Oh, that's got a very. It's got a musty smell.
You know what that tastes like?
Feet. So far. I've not been super impressed by anything so far, but I think we're holding the best for last probably. So.
Yeah, I think some of the other stuff got on the, you know.
See, look, it's squingy. I don't. Why your dessert got to be juicy? I don't want juicy desserts.
I don't know what that. Okay. Girl world.
That tastes like nothing. There's no flavor at all. It's just a brick of chalky smush. Like it doesn't like. I can't rate it because there's no flavor.
I don't know what that is.
There's no flavor. This has no flavor at all. All right. Anyway, so tell me, Reggie, how was your week? By the way, guys, let's all congratulate Reggie. He just finished his Liberty University travels. We now have a apologetics master amongst us. Would you like to explain exactly what apologetics are, Reggie? I think people need to know since you're an expert.
Well, I can tell you for one thing, it's not an apology. That's what I get.
Well, I didn't think it was either.
I know you don't, but it's funny how
you mastered apologizing.
It's just, it is hilarious how many people, if you say, well, I study apologetics. Well, you mean you study apologizing? It's like, no,
that might be the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, that was, ladies and gentlemen, you have been witness to something only few people will ever see, and that was a full-on
crack out by Reggie. Because I've seen it so many times, man. It's like, oh, bro, no.
Legitimately, people have said that to you?
Oh, God, yes, dude.
But you're studying apologizing?
Yeah. What are you apologizing for? And so...
I'm sorry. All right, so give us. All right, so we got to get back on track. What is the definition of apologetics?
It comes from Greek apologia, which is like a means more of a like a more of like a defense attorney than anything. So it's when apologetics comes from that, like it's a Christian apologetic. It's a defense of the faith, a proof of the faith. In other words, like the whole idea is to. You understand the gospel. You can defend the gospel. You have the skills and necessary, you know, acumen to be able to address concerns and debate and stuff with as far as like what that is.
Well, give me an example of a situation where apologetics would come in handy.
Well, so in other words, if somebody's like, well, I don't believe in Christianity because the whole New Testament is, or the whole Bible is written by men. It's a fairy tale. Okay. Do you want the answer to that question? Or because that's what I could answer that question, like how the Bible was written, why it has proof of it, why it's one of the most historically accurate accountable documents we have, why the everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament is much more accurate than probably any of the other historical documents
that we have. Well, and it may, you know, this is something I learned the other day, that part of the Bible's relevance and proof is that other religions actually document his characters in the Bible. Jesus, Rastafarianism recognizes Jesus.
But that's what Islam I mean. It's just
recognizes Jesus.
You can answer those questions like, what proof do you have of the legitimacy of the Christian faith? And that just broke everywhere. So here, but that's really what it is. It's really, and to be honest, the bachelor degree doesn't really get you there. It gets you where you have the basics of theological terms and some stuff about how to do apologetics.
Home run. Best thing so far. Not too sweet.
But what is it?
I don't know, but it's good.
Almost has like a rice texture, doesn't it?
It almost tastes, it's almost like a rice texture, but it's really good. And it's not too sweet. It's not overpowering, right? So far, Squingy rice ball wins.
Oh, this is definitely a different texture.
Did something juicy just come out of that?
No. It's just the honey left over from the... Right.
So this is like a cake-ish, fudgy type thing. Okay. That's kind of good.
I like that one.
That's really good. It's like a
wafer.
Mm-hmm. Now I can get down on some of that.
That's not too sweet. Very nice, it has like texture. It has like an earthy thing going on too. But yes, yeah, it's I love
I taste cumin in there.
Probably. But it is like a wafer almost.
Yeah. But anyway, so Reggie is now an apologetics master.
No.
So if you need to apologize to someone, call Reggie. He'll teach you how to do it.
I'll laugh at you on camera.
Oh, that was great.
Hardy har har.
Hardy har har.
Well, dude, I mean, look, did I need to go to school? No. And I'll tell everybody honestly this. I'm a well-read guy. Like, I've spent a lot of time because I'm an intellectual person. Like, I didn't come to faith because it was I was in a position of needing a savior. I just was like intellectually interested in like what really I should be looking at for the truth of our existence.
No.
Mm-mm. What? Mm-mm. Why?
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Don't even know what the brown brick of something was, but no. Well, so tell me, why did you become interested in doing apologetics? What made you finally decide to go, I'm going to get a degree in apologetics?
Okay, so what happened? Well, this goes, okay. I came to faith through apologetics, which I didn't know that at the time, but that's how I did. I wanted to research because it was like, I believe that there was an intelligent design. I think logically when I got to that point in my early 20s, I was like, yeah, you know, there's obviously something designed this thing. I think it was really lame to say that there wasn't. I thought the atheistic worldview was just stupid. So, and then finally when I got to say like, well, what is really true? And I was raised in a Christian home. So I thought the one thing that would be the easiest to do was debunk Christianity. So what I did was I read a whole bunch of, I went and searched for proof of the Bible, proof of this or that or whatever. And, and like, for instance, I read The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel.
Which is actually a really good book.
Because he was an atheist who did this because his wife was converted and he wanted to disprove it. So he went on this whole journalistic, you know, thing. So I thought, well, that's perfect because he's doing the same thing I want to do. So he goes through that. And at the end, obviously, he can't rule it out anymore. But he had a lot of references. In the back of his book,
okay,
that he referenced throughout the whole thing, even the people that he interviewed and all this stuff. So I read those references.
Okay.
And then I read their references. And then, you know what I'm saying? So I must have, there was about an 8-month period of time where I was just devouring all these reference materials that people were using.
Which had a heavy, most of them had a heavy historical base, I would assume.
Yeah. But I didn't know I was reading scholarship. I mean, even some of that, like the systematic theology book. That wasn't really a apologetics book, but it was one of them that were like, you know, if you want to read about the systematic way of theology, read that. But there was a couple things like that, dude. So when it came, so I was always into those kind of things. I was always into watching debates and listening to lectures and, you know, about the, you know, different aspects of how the Christian faith came to be, why it's still there. And plus, I have to bolster my own intellect all the time or else I start doubting things too much for me.
That's actually a great thought. I never really thought of it that way.
I have to do that or else my brain switches over and says, oh, you, what about this? And you know, let's see. This is a brown.
Actually really good. Really good. We should have really gotten the names of these.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I just said, hey, give me a bunch of this. Just give me a sampling of everything. Because he had this whole case, dude. It was awesome.
That's pretty good. It's almost got like a jam cake kind of flavor, you know? Real good.
Yeah,
I like it.
I don't know. It has some kind of thing to it, doesn't it? It
has a heavy ginger to it.
That's what it is.
Ginger. But it's still good. Anyway.
So when I came, here's the deal. Here's why. I had tried to go back to school because honestly, my mother, she valued an education.
Mm-hmm.
She did. She was very much a, look, you need to get an education. It'll help you do well. So because it was later on in her life when she got her degree. And me and none of my brothers have a degree, right? So I'm like, man, one of us needs to, you know, carry that mantle. So what I did was, and it was many years ago, I tried to go back to school. And I tried to go back to Liberty because I thought, hey, Liberty would be a good place to do something. But they could not get my, at the time, they could not get my high school transcript. Like, no matter how many times they, I got a physical copy, I did all this stuff, they couldn't get it. So, like, it would not work. I finally said, okay, I guess this ain't going to work. And many years later, I was watching a YouTube lecture from Dr. Lim, and he's a theologian of sorts, give his testimony about how, why he came into apologetics. And it was like a bolt of lightning hit my head, said, you could do this, you should do this. And it was like just a kind of a picture of me, you know, going through a school and getting accreditation and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It was just like a bolt of lightning hit me in the head. So, but in contrast to the previous, because I thought, oh man, if I go to try to do this, they couldn't get my transcript. It's going to be, I said, but okay, let's try again. So I pay the application fee. I go to apply online, and it was 24 hours later. I was accepted and enrolled.
Sweet.
It was quick, dude. It was phenomenally just fast. It was like, oh yeah, we don't need to do that anymore. We don't need to do this. And it was like, everything worked.
Okay.
So there I was. And that's why, because it would just, I seriously think that God told me to do it. I don't know why yet, but he told me to do it.
I'm suspect a little bit.
Well, it's kind of like that other pink one.
It's got an unidentifiable dot on top of it.
So well, maybe that's from another piece.
I'm going to avoid the dot. Another squingy one.
What? It's not bad, though. That one I don't mind.
It's not bad. I'm just not a fan of the texture.
You just don't like the squingy. It's got honey in it.
It does, but the squishy. It's like a sponge almost.
It is.
I'm not really digging the sponge.
But I don't know what flavor. It's just a. Just like a honey sponge cake.
I think that's just, yeah. All right. So let me ask you this question. For our viewers out here. If you had someone right now come to you and say, hey, man, I'm trying to make a case for Christ. Mm-hmm. Where should I start? What would you tell them?
Okay, so I probably have some basic theological questions for them. Okay. As where that what they already know, where they're at with their walk.
What if they don't have a walk yet? Like,
well,
like, hey, I want to make a case for Christ. I don't know if he's real or not.
You know, okay.
Where would you tell them to start?
So the very first thing to do, in my opinion, is the book of John in the New Testament. I truly believe that's the first book I would probably
point him. That's a super interesting answer. I'm really interested to hear why.
Because it really gives a whole overview of who Jesus is and what he did. Like, it really does. It goes through that probably, and not really necessarily better, but I think it's easier to understand Christ's origin and his birth and his ministry and all that stuff. I think it's just more concise in John than the other apostles or epistles. The second thing is, like, it would be to ask, like, well, what part of Christ or the Bible do you really have? Because the problem is, if you don't ask these questions, the scholarship of this stuff is so vast. You can point them directly to something they don't even care about.
Well, let me straw man you. I'll be the guy, right? Okay. I really have a problem in believing in something I can't touch, taste, feel, see. Just like an all-knowing being that just hovers above us and doesn't really contact us, but has a book of rules for us, and, you know, I have quieted the Reginald.
You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. You don't see sound waves going through the air from one point to another, yet you hear it. You can't see smells in the air, but you smell it. When you sit on a chair, you don't look and analyze every nut and bolt or the wood and make sure it's okay before you sit on it.
So in other words, what you're saying is, it's not hard to have faith in something. You have faith in a lot of things every day.
Exactly. Faith is not something that no one has no faith. Okay. Yeah. So there's that.
Well, and that's another thing is that's why I think atheism is a lie. You believe in a lot of things.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that's what a theory is. You believe in it. But anyway, so that's the starting point. So to understand it, yeah, there is faith. And it doesn't mean anything as far as like a religion or anything to have faith. Faith is part of our existence.
Yeah. We have faith in all kinds of things all the time.
We're not that analytical of a creature. The second thing about it, like if God's real, then it's just, it comes to, there are so many different scientific studies and research and everything that is so debated that you can run in a rabbit hole really fast if you're looking for who's right about a certain topic. It could be cosmological, it could be astrophysics, it could be quantum physics, it could be all kinds of things. If you're really going down the scientific route, because you got to understand there's Christians and they have the same accreditation as the secular, and they're arguing different, using the same stuff, saying it in different ways.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So at the end of it is like, okay, Christianity is based on one central figure, Jesus Christ. Prove that he existed or he didn't, first off. If he did, get an idea of what he did do when he was on earth. Is that true? Is that not true? Find out those things, and you'll need help along the way because you're not just going to be, because you just can't read Joe Schmo blog post and expect to get there. You need to read respectable authors who've put in the time and research into doing these things right. And then the final thing is like, well, did he actually become, was he actually resurrected? Did what he say? So if you get to the point where you said, okay, I've looked for proof of Jesus Christ that he was actually living and breathing and he was here on earth. And that's pretty verifiable. Secular and non agree to that. Was he crucified for what he did? Did he do things? Yeah, there's actually secular and they kind of agree to all that stuff, both secular and Christian. The resurrection story, then you get, okay, well, was he actually resurrected? Well, there's where you get some debate about things. However, Gary Habermas, Dr. Gary Habermas, who he's put his lifetime into the proof of the resurrection. He has volumes of stuff on the thing. There's enough there that you can satisfy anybody who wants to read it. This takes time though. So if you go through the process, Jesus is real. What he did was legitimate. He actually was crucified and he was resurrected and he is no longer, and he, you know, all that stuff. Then how can you not say that, okay, Jesus Christ is real and he is who he said he was? That's the path. So once you've agreed that Jesus Christ is real and that what he did and he actually, who was what he says he is, then it's just about filling in the rest of the holes. He's the central figure. So if you get central figure, he points to scripture and he points to the validity of scripture. He points to all that stuff. Then it's just about filling in like, okay, what does it mean from Genesis to Mark? What does it mean from Matthew? What does it mean from Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, all the way through Revelation, and how are those connected? Then you just start filling in the gaps. But you start with that point. Start with Jesus. Figure out if he was real for yourself. If you need help with that, you ask.
Which, by the way, if you do the research, you will find out that historically he is recognized in almost every culture, like as a historical figure, not okay. Even necessarily as, you know.
No, he's written about in a lot of different places, not just Christian stuff. There's Josephus and there's Roman stuff. It's pretty clear Jesus was the real.
All right, so next up is Submarinos.
Strawberry cream-filled snack cakes, dude.
All right, let's see. So far, Marinella and Bimbo, which, by the way, in my world, Bimbo's hilarious. But so Joe, judging before we open it, this looks like a direct ripoff of a Twinkie.
Like, it does look like a Twinkie, dude.
This looks like a Twinkie. Like, I'm not sure if Hostess might have a lawsuit.
Okay, I'm going to put that down there for now.
But let's see. What
strawberry cream filled. Let's go.
Nope. It's dry again. It's dry.
Well, it is. It's almost like a angel food cake, sort of.
I don't think so. I think it's just a dry, bone dry cake with some cream filling in it.
But it is not good.
And it's not good.
No. Anyway, I mean,
you're out. All right. So the South of the Border Snacks only has one remaining opportunity to come out of this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. This is the burritas.
This is kind of the same thing, though. Strawberry filled cookies.
Apparently, down south of the border, they really like strawberry filled things.
Man, it's chalky too.
It wasn't good, was it?
Hey, you know what? We're gonna split this because I don't want to eat it.
And yeah. Let's just.
Oh, there's two in here.
Oh yeah.
Oh look.
Oh great. Okay, so this. All right, so now we're getting into some copyright infringement. This looks like a Fig Newton.
It sort of does, but you know. So this is a strawberry filled cookie.
Okay.
From Barritas.
Uh huh. Yeah, gross. Dry. Not good. Not good at all. It's like somebody took a fruit roll-up and laid it in the middle of some old bread and rolled it up. Not good.
All best right. Before October
24, 2024. Well, at least it's fresh-ish. It's not good, man. The second bite wasn't going to make it any better, Reg.
You have to give it a shot, bro. I mean.
You do.
Okay, look. I saved this for last. This is my wife's baklava.
Yeah, this stuff looks amazing. And I want you guys to know something. Reggie's wife last night made fruit-filled egg rolls. They were fire.
Well, she made banana chocolate egg rolls. A peach,
cherry chocolate, peach, and apple.
Yeah, and an apple. Yeah.
And they were all good.
Now, save the best for last, dude. I'm not kidding.
Baklava. Huh? Yeah, it wins. Perfect combination of flavors. Not too sweet, right?
Dude.
Not overwhelming.
Baklava is amazing. And she throws down, bro, with it.
Your wife cheese-filled fried chicken breasts with mashed potatoes and peas. I coronated her the queen of the kitchen at that point.
Bro, that was, I mean.
It was worth the wait. You know, I think eating all the bad desserts made hers even better.
But, that's true, too. But, man, I did not like the Indian stuff. I did not.
I liked the rice ball. That was the only one. The rice ball I liked.
I liked the honey donut thing, the donut hole.
Yeah. I didn't like any of the green stuff was just gross.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Like soggy lettuce candy. No, thank you.
None of the Mexican stuff that you got in the package.
It was not good.
I think it'd be interesting because I've had some really good.
Well, I'm a big flan fan.
Oh, dude. Right? Sopapilla.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Their packaged stuff is terrible, though.
Yeah.
I didn't want the packaged stuff. That's why I went to the Indian grocery store because like that.
Well, on our second continental, I will go directly to the Mexican grocery store and get the fresh stuff. Be like, hey, give me some of your best throw down desserts.
Yeah.
But I had always seen those and I was like, huh. I was like, I wonder why they have their own section and they're so bountiful.
Maybe well, now good. They know. Then nobody likes them.
They have to give them a lot of room because, you know, they keep them for a while.
Okay. So let me make a. I apologize to our podcast listening people. I totally spaced out on not getting the live event we had up to the podcast platform. So that'll probably be up there by the time this is released, though, because it's on my agenda to do. But, man, I really appreciate your help in that live event. That was my last big project to do and get it done.
It's my pleasure.
And I think we will do some more live stuff. That one was in a hurry. And like I had, it took me so long to get the technology part right. With I had to get a streaming input capture card. I had to set up my laptop to be able to do it right and set up OBS a different way and do the it was like a whole thing. So
you just gave like a lot of acronyms and I don't know
anything. I know, bro. No, I'm just
my saying. OBS and my AQC were on my A1A.
But anyway, so we're gonna have we'll do some more, but they'll be advertised a little bit different. And yeah, so really the format I think we're kind of doing is pretty cool. Next week we're going to talk about what did we say next week was?
It's
I can't
down.
Touch my phone because it's like let me just oh well
because you're all coated.
I'm just
going to
wipe it on my pants because
well you know
they're overall
that's what pants are for.
So I would say. Please like and subscribe our stuff because we, you know, we're still trying to drive people to the channel. We're still trying to do things. And we would like your feedback as to what we're doing because it'd be awesome to get some suggestions about what you want to hear.
Yeah. Like, feel free to type in like subject matter. Please refrain from vulgarity or vulgar subjects. We're not really interested.
Bible translations and denominations.
Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about different Bible translations, NIV.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
King James, all that stuff. And we're also going to talk about denominations.
Yeah.
How the denominations came to be.
A brief history of the church. A brief
history of the church. Things like that.
That'll tell us about denominations. So, and then that's pretty much it for things right now. So we'll do that one. We're also going to do in a couple weeks a response to, and this is our look. I'll be honest. It's been a while, but I've wanted to actually discuss Stephen Fry's approach to the saying God is evil and how, and then he would, you know, if he came up to the pearly gates, he'd just say, "How dare you?" So I really want to approach that too. So we'll do that soon. Mm-hmm. And we got a whole lot more planned. So yeah, we're looking.
Guys, I would just like to encourage anyone who's listening to this, may listen to this, has listened to this, whatever that is going to happen. Do yourself a favor and stand on your intellect. Emotions change from hour to hour. We can hear certain pieces of information that change our emotional standpoint, and it can almost change it instantly, even if it's not good information. But for the decisions you make, stand on your intellect, stand on your mind, stand on the ability to discern false from true. Do your homework. And if you really want it to be better, make fact-based decisions.
So here's the thing. You can't just say, I've listened to whoever on the left for so long now. I only watch The View and I do whatever The View says.
Then that makes you not very, I'm sorry, but it doesn't make you very smart.
No, you're completely missing like legitimate reality of things. They're really wrong. I mean, it's not just, I'm not just saying it because I disagree with them about their views. I'm saying factually they get it wrong. Like
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So I would encourage like, you know, even I'll give prop Bill Maher. He's an interesting individual in that he does have a mind of his own,
mm-hmm.
and he is very good about looking at things. But he's still, for me, it's like I see him being very intelligent, but it's like how are you still coming up the same conclusions, which is still boggles my mind. But he's one place to start listening to just to kind of get more of a broader explanation for some things. Listen to Joe Rogan's podcast and go back and look at his guests he's had on, and he's interviewed all kinds of people. Like, you know, and
honestly,
that would be a good place to start.
Honestly, you know, the current version of Tucker Carlson, like the Fox News version of Tucker Carlson, no. But if you listen to the current version of Tucker Carlson, the libertarian version of Tucker Carlson, he makes a lot of sense. And he really tries to approach things from a common sense, factual standpoint. I feel like he was a little bit of a alarmist when he was with Fox News. And I feel like he's left that and he's become this, you know, really, he really wants to get to the core of the issue, right? He recently did a podcast with Dave Smith where they talked about basically what I talk about, which is facts. What are the facts, right? Let's not get our emotions involved. What are the facts? Another great one. If you're looking for pure intellectual input in a podcast, you can't beat Jordan Peterson. You can't beat Andrew Huberman. Both of these men are extraordinarily intelligent men who...
Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah, Sebastian Gorka is great.
I like his content. I think he brings some very calm, factual arguments to bear. Michael Medved, I used to listen to him a lot. Mm-hmm. But he gets a little... I don't know how I would say it, but you know, I think he's worth listening to. The Dennis Prager, well, look, there's just a bunch of people, but all I'm saying is like, just don't look at MSNBC. Don't look at CNN alone. Don't look at Fox News alone. Don't look at anything alone.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to is if you can look at source material. Well, anyway, look, so, I just want to qualify and say that, everybody's talking doom and gloom these mm-hmm. days, and it's like an apocalyptic going to happen tomorrow type of thing. Mm-hmm. That's all sensational. I just want to make that point. That is not the reality that we live in. Mm-hmm. Yes, at any point, God could say, throw brimstone on the whole freaking earth and we all die. But you must understand the sensationalism that is inherent in the media outlets that we have.
It is sewn in.
Yes.
It is sewn in.
So like, don't get wrapped up in the, oh, they're coming for me. Oh, I gotta, you know, whatever. Just look, it's not, no.
Yeah.
Now it could get to that point. It's just, but I just don't think it's there now. Well, anyway, look, like, subscribe, give us a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Stay away from the green candy.
Yeah. It's gross. Look, and into any Indian folks out there, I want to say that I'm a huge fan of goat curry, of chicken tikka masala, by the way, pretty much all kinds of pretty much Indian cuisine. But that, I didn't know.
It was rough.
Yeah.
But other than the rice ball, it was rough.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I love me some Indian stuff.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, some of the, I've had some events where I've had to go on and do work, like, especially if it's after hours and stuff and you're working with a bunch of Indians and stuff, and their wives will bake and make stuff to mm-hmm. bring to everybody, you yeah. know?
So good.
Oh, bro. It's just Although fire,
I
man. Did
work with a guy one time whose wife brought this handmade naan bread that she made, which the bread was fire. And then she put this green kind of paste stuff that you're supposed to put on the bread. It burnt my soul. It was that hot. Like, it yeah. burnt my soul.
Yeah.
It tasted amazing, but instantaneously I had to just scream out loud and run around in circles and smack myself because it was that hot.
Yeah, like,
it
dude. Was ridiculous. I've been in some of these all-nighter things where there's just loads of food that have been brought in and stuff, and it's just freaking amazing. That
yeah. And I'm a huge fan of any. I love curry.
Yeah, curry's amazing. Fantastic. Goat curry. I love goat curry, dude. Yeah. So, anyway, look, that's all for today. I'm Reggie.
I'm Brian.
We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.